The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first of all, on this Christmas Eve, there are some people who are working and some people who are working at home, getting the prep going. And we'll have Gareth Mullins in later on to talk us through the countdown to the big dinner tomorrow. Someone else is working today who's just arrived from his home, hot foot, but effortlessly through the non-traffic, I suppose. Conor Faulkner, who is a transport commentator and host of the podcast Driving Life. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Hi. Now, we're going to look back at some of the stories that you found were the most significant transport stories of 2025, but those stories are still breaking. Last night, was it Dartmouth Square?
Dartmouth Square, yeah. I mean, I was looking at the chats that we've had on Wednesdays through the year, and I'm not being very scientific about this. I'm just thinking about the ones that got me the strongest reaction in terms of just people approaching me or dropping me emails or dropping, spike bombs at me on social media. So we had things like the Firhouse Cycle Lane and Bus Connect and various things. But one of the huge ones, obviously, is Metro. The future of Dublin City absolutely depends on this project. We've needed it for 30 years and more. Every time it's announced, the only thing you ever seem to hear about it is that it's got more expensive and it's got further delayed.
And then there was that last minute judicial review lodged by residents in Dartmouth Square, where this big interchange is going to be.
Yeah, and that is just head in hands for 5 million citizens of this republic. Are you honestly telling me that a small handful of people can just put their hands up and say stop, and we all have to stop?
A way was shown, though, because they went to mediation. They paused the judicial review. Mm. Now it's been withdrawn, but they paused it and their heads were knocked together and they came to a resolution. And we'll talk about that resolution in a moment, but doesn't it suggest that this kind of hard and fast, you go to the council, you're turned down or you get permission, it goes to a commission in Planola, you either get permission, and if you don't, you go to judicial review. And there's no attempt to kind of sort it out before it gets to the courts.
Well, I think that's probably fair, Pat, if somebody could kind of put their foot on the ball earlier. But the other thing that discourages me is this, you know, encouraging the culture of dispute. Because, you know, if the squeaky wheel gets the oil, you're incentivizing every wheel to squeak.
So you object and they'll buy your house.
Object and they'll buy your house. And, you know, that is obviously a terrible signal for the rest of us. So, a bit of a frustration. If we wind up getting the Metro built, I recall all of these shenanigans, CPOs for farms and various things, mm-hmm. as the motorway network was being built. And you know what? We turn the page when the motorway opens. Nobody remembers how hard it was to build the M50.
Now, look at a lot of stuff from China, the way they do things. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't want their human rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there are loads of caveats. But their engineers are astonishing, the things they can do and how quickly they do it.
It's the speed with which they do it. I mean, in this country, not unique, it's a Western world thing. But we agree that we need to do something. You know, there's no disagreement. Absolutely everybody agrees we need to do something. And yet, it can be another 5-6 years before we get a shovel into the ground. And that may have been cute in years gone by. But right now, it is literally strangling us. It's strangling the city.
Speaking of strangulation, another story, I saw it yesterday in the Irish Times, which was we are the 11th most congested city in the world.
Yeah.
And the third most congested in Europe.
Yeah, well, there you go. Another fantastic performance from Dublin. And I tell you, this is the INRIX survey that comes out every year. There are a couple of other ones as well. There's a TomTom one. There's a Garmin one, Google do one. They all say the same thing. And our league table position varies a little bit. And by the way, if you go further down the list, you'll find Cork and Galway and Limerick, all Irish cities massively overrepresented. So for us to be the third most congested city in Europe. So you're comparing Dublin globally to cities like London, Paris, Los Angeles, Shanghai, Tokyo. It is utterly, utterly ridiculous that Dublin should be on that list. Utterly ridiculous. But we know the reason for it. I mean, every time we talk about congestion in Dublin, I mention the Metro. You know, every time we talk about road safety, I mention more guards because, you know, it remains true. And every time on the road safety front, you think, oh, the minister's thought up a whole new law that he can legislate for. And I'm going, would you just give us more guards, not more laws? And likewise in Dublin City, when you hear that, you know, Bus Connects is going to be super, or the Firhouse bike lane now has a new additional second lane that's a different colour, and you have your head in your hands going, will you build what we actually need? It doesn't get cheaper the longer you delay.
Now, the head of BusConnex was talking yesterday again about how most people think it's a great development. And they do tweak it. They will not redraw the plan, he said, but they will tweak it if there are certain little things that are not seen to work. What's your experience?
Well, look, it's Christmas. Let's not say uncharitable things, but I have said before, and I will say again, BusConnex is a terrible strategic decision for Dublin. It's a disastrous strategic decision for Dublin. What it's going to do is to construct ugly, modern bus motorways on 12 arterial routes into the city. And having done that, it will not solve the problem. It doesn't like have anything like the capacity of a light rail, let alone a metro. And when we do it, when we spend 3-4 billion euro on it, and 10 years' time the city is still as congested as it ever was before, we will then conclude again that we never needed bus connects. What we needed all along was a metro. So I hate it for various reasons.
But this is, and I'm sure they would say it's an interim solution.
Well, they don't say it's an interim solution. We're spending...
Because, I mean, it's daft, because the city is growing, the population's growing, and if you think that a bus can take, I don't know, 100 people?
Pat, on the new bus, it's 85 people a full bus, and
okay,
the metro is 20,000 people an hour.
Yeah, if you take the one carriage in the Dart or the Lewis, just think of it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many buses per hour do you need to make up, say, a frequency of 5 minutes at rush hour for Dart or Lewis?
And think of the surface footprint of those vehicles. We gave out last week about SUVs getting too big. A bus isn't small either. And if your city features a constant wall of buses on bus motorways through your ancestral core, I mean, you've got to really hate cars to think that that's a good solution. I think it's a dreadful solution. And we will eventually have to dig it up and replace it with Lewis lines and metros, which is what we should be doing now. Incidentally, we live in Knocklyon. My mother-in-law, Lorraine's mum, is in Clondalkin. Okay. Now, you'd nearly skim a stone from our house to theirs, right? It's a 10-minute drive. It's a 20-minute cycle. It's an hour by public transport with three connections. This is the offer to Dublin City. And every time I hear somebody pretend that this can be our future, I just put my head in my
hands. Someone picking you up on what you said about 5 million people holding their heads in their hands over the metro being stalled, which has now been unstalled. No, Pat, 5 million citizens of this country are not holding their heads over the metro. The people in Galway have been waiting for a ring road for 30 years. Don't give two hoots about a metro in Dublin, which has already benefited from Dart, Lewis, the M50 and rail, of course, as well.
Well, Galway needs it too. And again, you and I have spoken before on that INRIX measure. Galway's actually an even more congested city than Dublin on
well,
a scale by scale.
I mean,
basis.
I have tried to figure out how they got it so wrong in Galway because you try to get around that city. You want to go to Connemara, for example, and it can take forever to get through.
If Galway had two Lewis lines that we built in the 90s, one from Furbo to Oranmore and one from Dunmore into the city centre, that alone. In Dublin, that cost 750 million euro. We could have done it in Galway for about 500 million euro 20 years ago. It would have had a transformative effect on the city. 20 years later, we're still not doing it. We're now talking about doing it, and we're talking about building a ring road. And in the meantime, they've done neither.
Now, what other topics really gripped the listeners? The M50.
The M50 is
full.
The M50 is full. Obviously, this is a related one. This was the 3rd of December, so only just a couple of weeks ago. And I think it was the Transport Minister let slip, or TII let slip, that the M50 is full. It has gone over its record numbers that it was hitting pre-COVID. So it's now averaging 159, 160,000 vehicles per day and topping out higher than that. It's related, obviously, to the Dublin transport story. You ain't fixing one without the other. But the M50 is now full, much more vulnerable to accidents and incidents, carrying, as we said when we discussed it only 3 weeks ago, 75% of the traffic that's on it are private cars. 90% of those private cars are single occupancy. And here we get to like the heart of the issue. The reason for that is not because they're lazy gits. The reason for that, they're pulling their hair out in an M50 traffic jam. They will do anything to take a public transport option instead.
They don't have it.
But they don't. If the M50 is an hour on a good day and 2 hours on a bad day, but public transport is 2 hours minimum, even when everything works, you know what the punter is going to choose.
The texts keep flying in. I failed to see what the rationale was for running the metro to Ranelagh anyway. What was wanted, needed, is a metro to and from the airport from the city centre. From there, people could make onward connections. Why was it decided or required to continue it to Charlemont? Anyway, the residents have got what they wanted, it seems, but I struggle to see the pressing need for the metro to finish there. To begin, well, it's not finishing there. It's linking up with the Green Line Lewis.
And it's eventually, like, that metro is eventually going to finish in Bray or Sandyford when we eventually build it. It's also not an airport to Stephen's Green shuttle. It's going to serve Swords and points beyond. This is part of a metro network. Every city in the world that has built public transport, that has built metro, every single city has been glad of the investment and wants to build more. There is no such thing anywhere of a city that has built a metro and said, geez, we wasted money on that. I'm sorry we did it.
It's not rocket science. We increase the population of Dublin and at the same time we reduce the road capacity.
Yeah, 20% population increase in 20 years in Dublin City. And as I said recently enough, if we get the Bloombridge, if we get the Broombridge extension to Lewis finished in 2031, if we succeed in doing that, it will mean that we will have added 4 kilometres to the Lewis network in 20 years, while the city's population grew by 20%.
Now, while we're on the topic of stalled plans, the Cork to Limerick motorway, and now with parts of it to be downgraded to N status after the Greens being in government, that's annoyed Stephanie in Cork.
Yeah, Cork Limerick motorway is a brilliant project. It's actually going to serve us really well.
Is it going to be all M?
They don't like calling it motorway, and that's a bit of a swizz. Maybe there's
The reason for sometimes M's becoming N's is because there is no other way to get from A to B. And to be a motorway, there has to be an alternative.
So that provisionally licensed drivers, for example, are vehicles that are restricted on using a motorway. The other thing is that N is a bit of a swizz these days because we have something called high-grade dual carriageway, which I'm all in favour of, which is theoretically an N road, but it's capable of carrying 120 kph, such as the engineering. The Cork-Limerick, call it motorway, call it high-grade dual carriageway if you're sensitive about the term motorway, but it will be a brilliant piece of infrastructure. It'll replace a really, really dangerous road, and we do need it.
Now, finally, this text, and I think probably singing from the same hymn sheet as you, traffic is congested by design, constricted by crazy traffic flow design and unused bike lanes, and we are close to max Gardaí. Few want to work in that role and those hours. So we're not going to get more guards to do what you want them to do. And often these ridiculous constructions are put there not really to service half a dozen bikes in an hour.
Yeah, correct. And sometimes it is literally contrived. There are traffic light sequences, decisions about putting in bike lanes. There are bike lanes that are being put in purely in order to justify the removal of a car lane. No other purpose. And even on deserted streets, cars are being artificially delayed in Dublin, as if the entire philosophy is, if we make car use so completely miserable, and then public transport will shine by contrast.
Yeah, but if you don't have it.
Well, absolutely.
And this one, can you tell me the route I could cycle from Super Value Knockline to Monastery Road, Clondalkin, which is a stone's throw away?
Yeah, that's actually, that is literally from my house to my mother-in-law's house. And there is I can show you on a map, there is a rather contrived route, but you have to cope with things like the Spawell intersection of the M50 motorway there. So it's not a very easy cycle route, even for an experienced cycle, but it does exist. You can do it. But as I say, that's option one, 20 minutes. Option two in the car take you 10 minutes. Your public transport option involves 2 buses and a Lewis, 2 changes, an hour at best. That's what the city is offering you. You cannot be surprised if the punter gets into a car.
Well, anyway, Connor, over the next few days, enjoy your relatively uncongested motoring as you visit your nearest and dearest over the holiday period. And very happy Christmas. And thank you for everything in 2025.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.